Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, page 1348 in your Scofield Bible, reading verses 11 through 16, of the 19th chapter of Revelation. We'll read the verses responsibly, starting with verse 11, and the text verse is the 14th verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, bless the service tonight. Bless with thy power. Thank you for preacher. Bless and help that each of us would be responsible in the matter of listening and hearing your word preached. In Jesus' name, amen.
To describe my preaching, many things could be said, both pro and con, perhaps. But one thing that would be the most descriptive thing, best description of my preaching would be practical. I almost always preach sermons that are practical. Tonight, I'm going to digress from that policy, and I'm going to preach a sermon that is not along the practical line. One that is unique, I think, for this pulpit, and a subject that I've never preached about exactly like I will tonight, and I'll never do it again. This is a one-time thing. I do not claim it'll be a great message, but it is about a great event. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, marching home. Marching home. And we have the text you read a while ago with Brother Colston. You need not turn to it again. I'll simply read the text. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This is an event that is not a fantasy, nor is it a type or a symbol. It is an actual event when Jesus shall come at the end of the tribulation period. He shall put down the Antichrist, and we'll have no laughing or talking during the sermon. He shall put down the Antichrist, and he shall defeat the forces of hell and the forces of Satan. And he shall establish his kingdom on the earth. And he shall rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we shall rule and reign with him, and shall be priest of God during the great period we call the millennium. Now, I have no desire tonight to be prophetic in my teaching or preaching. I have no desire to teach prophecy, and I will not do so, though I certainly have in years gone by and shall in years to come. But I want to talk tonight about an event. It says the armies that were in heaven followed him on white horses clothed with fine linen. You and I, as God's people, shall be a part of that army. And I'd like for us to step back for a while tonight and view that great procession that will take place in the end time. Now, Father, I want to be a blessing tonight. I'm glad you made me a preacher. I wish I were a better one, but I'm glad you made me a preacher. And I'm glad for the hope that beats in my breast about this time when Jesus shall come and the armies of heaven shall come with him. Now bless our hearts together as we think about this truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. A Roman warrior who was a victor, who had slain at least 5,000 in battle, was honored in a very special processional and a very special occasion. he who had slain at least 5,000 in battle wore a gold-embroidered robe. In one hand he held a laurel, in the other hand he held a scepter. Before him, in this great parade, there was a group of people that were his captives, those that he had captured himself in battle, preceded him in the parade, and following him was the army with which he had fought. We'll have no reading books. Fellow back in the back that's reading a book, look at me while I'm preaching. This is not library time. This is preaching time. And if you want to go to the library, it's right down the street here. If you want to come to church, you hear preaching. You may not like when I say this, but you haven't got a choice in the matter. I want folks to hear me. I so happened. I planned these sermons. Because I'm reading the Bible. Read it before you come. Read it after you leave. I'll preach while you're here, and you'll listen to me. Here you think you are. Doesn't matter who I think I am. Who I know I am is the man of God about to preach. And I don't expect you to sit there and look like you're in a library. And if you don't like that, then you can put sugar or salt and lump it any way you want to lump it. When you go to church, you ought to hear the preacher. I may change my sermon all of a sudden. Boy, suppose that you ladies fixed a Thanksgiving dinner and everybody got around the table and slept. And that's how I feel. And so, this Roman victor, honored, as I said, wearing a gold-embroidered robe, in one hand a laurel, in the other hand a scepter, before him marched his captives, and following him came the armies. On either side stood the entire population of the city in holiday dress, cheering loudly in a gala occasion, honoring the victor who had come back home from battle, having slain at least, or having slain at least 5,000 in battle. Now, this is the scene we see here. This scene, the conqueror of heaven and earth and hell is coming home again, and all the city turns out to greet him. Flowers are strewn along the way. Banners of light are waved, and heaven's bells are ringing, and people are singing, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And in this great heavenly procession of Revelation chapter 11 and verse 14, we find coming the Lamb of God as the great conquering king. He came the first time, you see, to a cross. He comes the second time to a crown. He came the first time, you see, to have a walking stick in his hand. He comes the second time with a diamond-studded scepter in his hand. He came the first time to wear a crown of thorns. He comes the second time to wear a crown of glory. He came the first time to be crucified. He comes the second time to be crowned. He came the first time to be reviled. He comes the second time to be honored. He came the first time to be hated. He comes the second time to be loved. He came the first time to be crucified. He comes the second time to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now in this picture, Revelation chapter 11, we see him. He's coming back. And here he is, the Lamb of the altar, of brazen altar of the tabernacle, and the living water of the laver, and the bread of life of the table of showbread, and the light of the world of the golden candlestick. There he comes. He's the one about whom we say he's the way, the truth, the life. He was called the good shepherd. He was called the true vine. He was called the altogether lovely one. He was called the fairest of 10,000. He was called the lily of the valley. He was called the bread of life and the living water. He was called the door. He was called the chief shepherd. He was called the great shepherd. He was called the good shepherd. And now he who came as a lowly one born in a manger comes back as a conquering one to rule and reign the earth for 1,000 years. He who was reviled, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, comes back to put down those who have put him down. And now he was on the bottom. He comes back to be on the top. He was the lowly one. He comes back to be the mighty one. He came to be as the Prince of Peace. He comes back as a man of war to put down his enemies. And here he comes in the great procession. And crowns of thorns exchange for the crown of glory. All wars are ended, and the Antichrist is defeated. And Jesus comes to reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. And now I see him as he comes at this great coronation day. Oh, the Pope coming to Chicago. That's like having a little convention of ants compared to this. And having the President of the United States come for a visit. That's like having some little pipsqueak come. No, this is the time. This is the day. This is the day called in the Bible the day of the Lord. This is the day in the Bible called the day of Christ. This is the day called the revelation day, or the uncovering day, or the unveiling day, when we shall see him as he is. We shall not see him veiled by a flesh made of clay. We shall not see him tormented, rejected, despised, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But we'll see him coming as King of kings and Lord of lords, as mighty gods and Prince of Peace and man of war, to put down sin and put down the Antichrist and conquer death and conquer the grave and conquer hell. And he comes to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And after he comes, then come the armies of the saved. See the horses of heaven's cavalry. See the champing at the golden, chomping at the golden bit, and the clatter of sanctified hoofs, and glory coming from their nostrils, and their pawing in the valley and rejoicing in strength. The snow-white chargers of heaven now come, and Jesus, our King and our Captain, our Savior, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, he's riding on a white horse, and see all the redeemed of all the ages, who each on a white horse, all you say for the how. You don't believe that's a white horse? Yes, I believe it's a white horse. You say for the house, why you believe it's a white horse? Because God said it's a white horse. But my professor in seminary said, more like it. He said, well, that doesn't mean a white horse. I like what the little girl said. Said, Mama, if God didn't say what he said, why didn't God say what he meant? And God did say what he meant. And we will come back on white horses. And Jesus will be on a white horse. And we shall come back with him to the earth. And then here come the people. Now, would you see for a few minutes this mighty, mighty processional as the people of God come marching? It says that they come on white horses. The armies in heaven followed him. I think I see the Colosseum martyrs who gave their lives on the battle, on the playing field, the Colosseum in Rome. I've been to the Colosseum on 2 occasions. I walked up in those stands and looked down on that field, and I thought of what had happened there in centuries gone by. I can see the vendors on Corso Street. And here come the people from far and near. That great stadium that seats maybe 50, 60,000 people or 70, much like the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, or the Orange Bowl, or some great athletic stadium in America. And I see the vendors as they sell their programs and as they sell their merchandise and as they sell their refreshments, and the people come from far and near. The rich come and the poor come and the mighty come and the weak come. They come for the great time of the athletic contest. And as they assemble there in that great Colosseum, as I stood there, I think I could see, the people sitting there once again. And I hear a chant going through that stadium. Bring on the lions. 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 And down at one end of that great Colosseum that I visited on 2 occasions, I can see those hungry lions not fed for a week as they come in their cages, raging, pacing to and forth inside those cages, hoping that somehow something can satisfy their enlarged appetites. And then the people start chanting, we want the Christians! We want the Christians! We want the Christians! We want the Christians! And down in this end of the stadium, they open the door, and out comes a little group of people, God's blood-washed people, born in the Spirit of God, heaven-bound people who could sing, we're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And the people chant, bring on the Christians! Bring on the Christians! Bring on the Christians! Here come the caged, hungry lions from this end. And here come the Christians, a little group of people from this end. And the people say, open the doors! Open the doors! Like we would say, we want a touchdown. Or hold that line. Hold that line. Hold that line. Hold that line. We want a touchdown. We want a touchdown.
that say, open the doors, open the doors, open the doors, open the doors. And as they get out to about what we'd call a 50-yard line, those little Christians huddle there. And I do not know exactly what they're doing, but I think I know what they're doing. Are they singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Are they singing, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given? Are they singing, oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And then the wicked hands of wicked men, wrought by wicked minds and prompted by wicked motives, pull open the door. Here come the lions, and these hungry lions starve for 7 days, come out, and they there take the bodies of God's people and rip their flesh and rip off their clothes and make a lunch out of God's people. And there the saints of God enter into the celestial city prepared for those who are prepared. Oh, I wonder sometimes if they don't sit up in heaven tonight and look down at this mealy-mouthed, anemic, retarded kind of Christianity we have. Come to church when you feel like it, and don't come if you don't want to, and tithe if you can. This little half in, half on, half out, half on, half off, half hot, half cold, milk and cider kind of pussyfooting Christianity. I wonder if they don't look out of heaven and say, I wonder why they're ashamed of Jesus. We gave our lives for Him on the floor of the Colosseum. And I see them as they come. I see them as they join the processional. And I hear the angels of heaven saying, welcome home, faithful saints of God. And I see the processional as it continues. Here come the regiments of Christian martyrs, Ridley and Latimer. Huss, John Huss and Savonarola and others. I see John Huss as he comes down the streets of glory, coming back with Jesus on a white horse. And Huss, who was taken to the stake, and they placed him, placed a crown on his head, and they put him against the stake and lit the fires. And John Huss said, Jesus wore a crown of thorns for me. I'd gladly wear this crown for Him. And the flames of martyrdom leaped up against his body, and Jesus welcomed his spirit to the celestial city. I see them as they march in the great processional. Here comes Ridley and Latimer and Huss and Savonarola. Here comes those who were hounded and those who were sown asunder and those who were beheaded and those whose feet were tied to the back of a chariot that went across brick and stone streets and their heads bounced along the stone and their brains fell out. We're built tonight on that kind of Christianity. I see the 18,000 Scotch Covenanters as they come in that great processional, those who perished in one persecution. I see the English martyrs. I see Hooper and Rogers and Cramer and Anne Askew, who at the age of 25 was put to death. And because she would not deny the Lord. She was so racked, it says, by being beaten that all of her bones were dislocated. And she was just a bunch of dislocated bones. She was put on a chair and carried on a chair to the stake. And her last words, rising through flames, formed a prayer for her murderers. And I can see those great saints of God. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys abound. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. The beautiful city of God. It won't matter then, beloved, what kind of car we drove. It won't matter then what kind of clothes we wore. It won't matter then what kind of house we lived in. It won't matter then how popular we were. It won't matter then how many thrills went through this physical body. It won't matter then how much money we had in the bank. As we join that great procession of God's people marching to Zion, riding on white horses, crowned with crowns, and following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There come the Protestants who fell on St. Bartholomew's Day in Paris, in Lyons, in Bordeaux, in Orleans. As the King looked out the window, the King looked out the window and saw the Christians being killed, the thousands, and the King himself shouted, kill! 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 What a cavalcade of saints who were snatched from torture by the fingers of eternal life. And now they march. Ah, they were hated then. They're honored now. They were despised then. They're respected now. The scum of the earth then. They'll rule the earth now. Oh, beloved saints of God, think it not difficult to be tried by fiery trials here. Think it not bad to be persecuted and folks call you a nut and a nitwit and a screwball and a lame brain. Ah! Join the great host of the people of God who through the years have said, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall lead until every foe is vanquished in Christ in the river. While their spirits crossed into the river of life, they keep coming. I see them. I see the Lord Jesus on his white horse. And I see the prancing horses, the steeds of glory, as they come. And on those white horses, all the saints of all the ages, as they march past in review at this great coronation day. I see Thomas Stockton, who would stop in a sermon and cough for several minutes. They said, sometimes 3 or 4 minutes he'd cough. And the history tells us that Thomas Stockton, people thought he had stopped breathing because he coughed so much. And then all of a sudden he would shout, thank God there'll be no coughing in heaven. Listen as he marches down the celestial streets, riding on heaven's horse, seeing not a cough can be heard, and he joins the great procession. Here comes old godly Eliot, who toiled among savages, traveling on foot through the wilds, and he said, my feet are always wet, but I pull off my boots and wring out my stockings and put them on again and go forward trying to endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't be any hardship then. Jesus will be king and we will be with him and we shall see him as he is and our eyes shall behold him without the glass darkness hindering us from seeing him as he is and we shall be like him. Our bodies shall be strong and our hands shall not tremble and our feet shall not grow weary and our voices will not become hoarse and our eyes will not become dim. Our ears will be able to hear, and our bodies will be erect, and nobody will have cancer, no heart attacks, and no tuberculosis, and no sanatoriums, and no hospitals, and no cemeteries, and no undertakers, and no pneumonia, and no leukemia, and no cancer, and no sickness, and no sin, and no disease, and no Playboy magazines, and no X-rated movies, and no bootleggers, and no taverns, and no cigarettes, and no dirty television programs, and no Dallas, and no Texas, and no Love Boat, and no MASH, and no All in the Family. And God's people shall be kings and priests, and all the mayors shall be born-again believers. And I don't mean just born-again believers. I mean separatist born-again believers. And the presidents and the kings and mayors and governors and judges and councilmen and school boards shall all be controlled by God's people. And Jesus shall ascend the stairway of Mount Zion and be King of kings and Lord of lords. I see the savages. Who told godly Eliot, they said, stop preaching or die. And this godly man said, I'm doing God's work. Touch me if you dare. I see the Moravians who were told if they went to the plague-ridden area, they could never come out because they would bear the disease with them. And these Moravians, realizing that people needed the gospel in these plague-ridden areas, they went into these areas, realizing they could never come out again. And watching these heathen people as they died with plague and leprosy, these Moravian missionaries would stay there. And as the people died, the Moravian missionaries laid down and died with them. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, it's such a hard thing being a child of God. You'll be glad then you went through a little suffering. You'll be glad then folks were chagrined at you. You won't mind then. They laughed at you on the job. And let me say, if they don't laugh at you on the job, you're a pretty sorry Christian. Nobody thinks you're a nut. You're not much Christian. Oh, you say this holy, holy, holy Christianity. God give us some holy Christianity. Oh, you say he's a holy Joe. We ought to have holy Joes and holy Marys and holy Bills and holy Petes and holy Jacks and holy Johns and holy people and holy Dorothys and holy Susans and every single child of God ought to walk like the Lord Jesus wants us to walk. It won't matter then. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. I love to be loved, but it won't matter now a great deal if I am. I'll be loved then. I love to be applauded. It doesn't matter a great deal if the earth's applaudits come my way. I'll be applauded then. I love to have the luxuries of life, but it doesn't matter if I walk in poverty. I'll walk in riches then. It doesn't matter if I'm a scum of the earth now. I'll be one of the rulers of the earth then. Hey, people of God, we have millenniums to rule and reign. Don't worry about suffering a little bit right here. I get so disgusted sometimes. Here somebody can't pay his light bill. He thinks he's suffering. I came to school and everything's gone wrong. Fella said this morning to me, I wanted to kick him out of the office. I mean it. He's here tonight. Come to the office tonight. I'll kick you out. And he came to the office and said, well, he said, my wife and I came here. We thought God let us. But we live in an apartment and it's so dirty. Well, then clean it up. But it's so dirty. He said, we just think we ought to leave because it's so dirty. Maybe a few mice there. I said, I wonder how it was in the Mamertine prison. Oh, God, give us some old-fashioned Christians again. Listen, the day is going to come. For this is not the crowning day. This is the cross-bearing day. This is not the victor's day. This is the suffering day. This is not the rest. This is the work day. This is the time to be hated and despised and rejected of men. Oh, you say, I don't believe it. How dare you be loved with the crowd that hated Jesus? How dare you be crowned with the crowd that crucified Jesus? How dare you be lauded with the crowd that put him on a cross and the whole world that nailed him to the cross? Every once in a while somebody said, Brother Heil, son, sit back down, would you please? Every once in a while somebody said, Brother Heil, these children should not go out in those hallways. If you knew what happened here last Sunday night, you wouldn't let those kids walk out those doors. Saw a little girl a while ago, 3 or 4 years old, walking out in the hallway by herself, going to the bathroom. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a wicked world out yonder. Oh, my heart hungers. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, what do you see for your Sunday school? You see 50,000 someday? I never worry about that. I just try to do the best I can right now. It may be 1,000. It may be 300. It may be one day, and I believe it will with all of my soul. I believe if the Lord lets me live a normal lifespan, I believe with all of my soul, unless there's a miracle that takes place in America, I believe in my lifetime, if I live to be 80 years of age, I believe that the doors will open to back there, those very doors that I point to tonight. I believe those doors will open and people will come with bayonets and guns. And I believe with all of my soul, they're going to say, put up or shut up. If this nation loses its freedom as much in the next 25 years as it has in the last 25 years, not one church in this country can open its doors 25 years from tonight without permission from the government. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll rot in jail before I get a license from the government to preach the gospel of Christ. I'm saying it just may be that you may have a bayonet stuck at your throat one of these days. You may have to say, they'll say, deny Jesus or you'll die. Well, you little non-tithers going to do then? What are you non-Bible readers going to do then? What are you non-prayers going to do then? What do you say? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have eternity to rejoice. Let's just go ahead and be the scum of the earth if we have to here. I see Christmas Evans. I see that man who was stoned on the first day he was saved and a stone hit his eye. He lost his eyesight in one eye. I see him as he marches and as he rides his horse in the great procession to glory. But look at him. He has two eyes now, thank God. I see David Brainerd, who prayed himself to death for the Indians of the North Country, who left his knee prints in the snow of the North Country and prayed himself to death at the age of 29 and died with a broken heart for the sins of his people and for the souls of the Indian. Here he comes! I see John Fletcher, who stained his wall with the breath of his prayers as he rides in this great parade. I see Payson, who left grooves in the hardwood floors where he prayed day after day. I see him. Here comes the poor.
in the great procession whose only earthly ride was in a hearse that took them to the cemetery. I see Ann Adoniram Judson. I see C.T. Studd, who gave away a fortune and get $25,000 of it he gave away, and that's what they used to found the Moody Bible Institute. We think about C.T. Studd. The day is going to come when Russell Anderson will have the same reputation C.T. Studd has because he gave the money to found the Hiles Anderson College. And I see Praying Hyde. And I see the martyrs. I see those men I read about so often and think about so often in when the Persian Empire was at its zenith. The commanding officer of a certain regiment called his men on a cold, icy, wintry, sub-zero day. He said, I understand some of my men are Christians and have named the name of Jesus. I will tell you tonight, the communists, left-wing crowd in America will destroy our churches if they can. And the same enemy that closed the doors of Russian churches and melted church bells to make bullets of them, that same enemy lurks all over this United States of America tonight. And this Persian commander said, I understand. We have men in our outfit who belong to Jesus and need to testify to His grace. He said, where are they? These men raised their hand. They counted 40 of them. He said, you men step forward, please. Those 40 men step forward. And the commander said, all right, you have a choice, one choice of two. He said, you deny Jesus Christ by stepping back into the ranks. Or he said, if you don't step back into the ranks and deny your Lord, he said, we'll strip you naked and put you on the frozen lake out there in the sub-zero weather, and you'll be out there until you die. And those 40 men stood firm, and they did not go back into the ranks. And the commanding officer said, take their clothing off and strip them naked and cast them on the frozen lake to die. As the evening shadows came, the commanding officer and the others could hear them as they're on the frozen lake. They began to sing something like this. 40 wrestlers wrestling for Thee, O Christ, wrestling for the crown of life, wrestling for the victory. And they listened to them as they kept on singing. 40 wrestlers wrestling for Thee, O Christ, wrestling for the crown of life, wrestling for the victory. And they kept marching on the frozen lake till their strength began to wane and their bodies became almost unable to sing or walk. And they could hear them singing just above a whisper, 40 wrestlers wrestling for Thee, O Christ, wrestling for the crown of life, wrestling for the victory. 40 wrestlers wrestling. And the singing stopped. And the men on the shore looked out to the frozen lake, thinking no doubt they were dead. And the commander looked out and he saw one who was recanting, crawling back on his hands and knees. And he said, I don't want to die. He denied his Lord. 39 stayed to die. The commanding officer was so moved by their courage and their Christ, he himself bowed on his knees and told Jesus, I trust you as my Savior, and took his own clothes off and went out on the frozen lake to join the 39 men. And now with their commander, they could be heard on the shore singing, 40 wrestlers wrestling for Thee, O Christ, wrestling for the crown of life, wrestling for the victory. Did you know tonight the faith that we have was bought for us with the blood of people like that? Did you know the foundation of what we have tonight? How firm a foundation is laid for your faith in the excellent word. We tonight are bathed in the foundation, the martyr of which came for the blood of the prophets and those who died and gave their lives for the gospel of Christ. Thank God when the day comes when they'll receive the honor they deserve. Thank God the day is going to come when Nero shall be in hell and those he killed shall walk the streets of glory. The day is going to come when the dirty Chinese communists, with the blood of 50 million Christians dripping from their wicked hands, will be in hell. And those 50 million Christians shall march down the streets of glory and sing blessing and honor and power and glory be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. I see widows and orphans as they come, those who had to live on pennies and nickels and dimes and crumbs from the rich man's table. I see them coming, riding on white horses as kings and priests of God to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And if you'll let me be just a little bit personal for a minute, I see, oh, thank God, I see over 250,000 people who walked the aisles and services where I've preached over these last 35 years, joining that great procession down the streets of glory, following our King and riding on white horses. I see little bus kids that nobody cared about until somebody from First Baptist Church came. I see poor, blind people that nobody cared about till Mrs. Denny and her crowd went to see them. I see deaf people who had never heard the gospel, hadn't been from Maxine Jeffrey's dedicated hands and those that work with her. I see teenagers that nobody cared for who'd be burning in hell, but because somebody cared, now they ride white horses to the coronation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I see in that great procession my departed friends. I see those with whom I preached. I see those with whom I've shared platforms across this country for these many years. I see old Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., who used to sit beside me on a platform. And I'd tremble as I'd sit beside him, realizing that greatness sat beside me. I see old Dr. Bob coming on a white horse, riding to the victor's party. I see old Dr. John Rice. Over 2,200 times I sat with him on platforms across the country. And over 22 years I spent, I guess, at least a third of my speaking time with that dear old saint of God. And I see him on the white horse, Dr. Rice comes. And I see him as he looks to Jesus and sings his praises and joins the great parade to glory. I see Dr. Bill Rice, and he'd have to ride on a white horse. I think Dr. Bill will be on a Tennessee walking horse. And I see Dr. Ford Porter. I think he'll have a fast horse trying to pass everybody up and getting up so he can ride close to Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you. I see Dr. Lee. I see Beecham Vick. I see others with whom I preached. I was thinking last night late about them and thanking God for their memory. And realizing the day will come and it won't be too long when some young preacher will be talking about, I heard Jack Hiles preach. Ah, listen to me. Why are we so interested in this old world? Why are we so wrapped up in things that are temporal? Why is it we want so many things? I see them. We're killed by the canon of St. Angelo. I see the maid of Saragossa. I see Elizabeth Fry and Grace Darling and Anne Boleyn. Anne Boleyn was brought by Henry VIII to the Thames River. 50 barges followed the Lord Mayor. Officials dressed in scarlet and choirs chanted as she marched, as she was taken to her martyrdom. She was clothed with gold. They paraded through the city. They waved flags. And then she was killed. And then they took her body and put her in Westminster Abbey. And she tonight is buried in Westminster Abbey in a kneeling position. I see David Livingstone, who with diseased body, torn and racked by disease, who blazed the African continent, and not only gave them civilization, but gave them the gospel and the word of God. His wife was so sick, she couldn't accompany him. He left his wife back and went out and was gone a long time. And she almost died at home, and he almost died on the field. And then some wicked, long-tongued gossips started spreading things. He went back and got his wife and took her and gave her life on the fields of Africa, in the jungles and the dark places of Africa. When David Livingstone died, as you've heard me say before, the black people were going to bury him. But the English government sent representatives to Africa to get his body. And they took his body back to England to bury him in Westminster Abbey, a great indoor cemetery there in London. And the black men said, no, we got to go get his body. David Livingstone loved us. His heart was with us. He went to England and they went to the dignitaries there and said, we want the body of David Livingstone to bury his body in Africa. And the dignitaries of England said, no. He belonged to England. He was from England. He belongs to us. We'll give him a burial in Westminster Abbey. And the black men said, oh, no. He loved us. He gave his life with us. Let us have his body. And the English government said, no, we'll bury his body here in Westminster Abbey. And the black men with tears streaming down their cheeks said, no, he did more for our continent than anybody in the whole world. Let us have him. And again, they refused. And the black men got on their knees and said, okay, we can't have his body. But his heart was in Africa. They said, let us have his heart. You take his body, just give us his heart. Bury his body in Westminster Abbey. Let us have his heart to bury in the dark continent of Africa. And the English officials agreed to do so. And they had surgery on that dead body of old David Livingstone and literally took his heart out of his body. And ship that heart back to Africa. And tonight in Westminster Abbey, everything of David Livingstone is buried there except his heart. And on the distant fields in the darkness of Africa, somewhere there's a heart of the great man of God. Oh, don't you see them as they're marching? And finally, I see this generation of Christians in the parade. I see men with long hair. I see ladies wearing blue jeans. With God's money in our pockets, singing religious rock, reading our TV guides, complaining because the parade is too long and our feet are sore, holding our school dropout cards in our hands, and expulsion slips. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. I hope maybe I'll have a scar or two to show. I hope maybe I'll be able to say, Jesus, I stood for you some. Oh, this sickly, puny, stunted, retarded generation of Christians. Sometimes I think it'd be good for us if Russia took over. Goldfish swallowed to get us to come to God's house. Ought not to have to get a picture out or a little tire tack out. We ought to be flooding to the house of God to stand up and give our word for Jesus Christ. Most of us read the newspapers more than we read the Bible. Most of us talk on the telephone 10 times as much as we talk to Jesus and God in prayer. I remember about 39 years ago, I guess. Nearly. I remember when I went in the Army. When I was in the Army, I joined the paratroopers. And then I became a sergeant. We called it T4 in those days. A technician, fourth grade, equivalent to sergeant. I remember when I had my first furlough. I remember when I got on the streetcar. Please take the baby out hurriedly. Please, quickly. Let's bow our heads for prayer while they do it. Father, don't break the spirit of this meeting because one child is crying. I pray you'd help us. Oh, God, please, may the Spirit of God continue to hover in this room now. Hear my prayer. Please, hear my prayer. Amen. I was on a streetcar. Went down Bryan Street, an old-fashioned streetcar in Dallas, Texas. I got to a street called Haskell Street. One block north on Haskell Street was a street called San Jacinto. My mother lived in a little apartment there. We lived there just before I went in the Army. We moved to that little apartment. And had a little living room and a little kitchen. And then back in the back had 2 little bedrooms, about 6 feet by 8. You didn't have enough room to get by to make it up. Had to crawl over to make it up and then make it up on this side. and my mother slept over in that little 6x8 across the hall, and I slept over here in what would be considered a poor ghetto-type area. And I got off the streetcar the first furlough I had when I got home. And I got off the streetcar at Bryan and Haskell Street, looked down a block to our apartment, or to San Jacinto. Our apartment was just around the corner, down at the corner. I couldn't see it in the streetcar, but I looked down the street and I saw my mother. 100 pounds of her. She was tiptoeing to try to get a glimpse to see if her boy, her soldier boy, was on that streetcar. I got off that streetcar, a United States paratrooper in the best shape of my life. I've been running 10 miles every day, doing 90 push-ups every day with a full-field pack on my back, and 25 to 40 push-ups with one hand. I saw my mother tiptoeing to see her soldier boy getting off the streetcar. I began to run as fast as I could run. I don't know how fast I ran, but I know that mother met me more than halfway. And I picked her up in my arms and carried her back to our little apartment, 4109 San Jacinto Street in East Dallas. She had my favorite food made for me. In those days, my favorite meal was veal cutlets, sauerkraut, green beans, thick and gravy, and hot biscuits. I've often said if I ever drown, I'd like to drown in thick and gravy. If you got to go, what a way to go. And I sat there. And there was mother over here. Now for months her soldier boy had been gone. And she lived alone. And I said, Mother, I think you're a better cook now than you ever were. Oh, son, you're just saying that because you used to army chow. I said, No, Mother. No, you're better. Oh, son. No, I'm not kidding, Mama. You are better. And we sat there and ate thick gravy on hot biscuits. And the veal cutlets and green beans and sauerkraut. And after that, we had some good old banana pudding. And then we sat there and talked for a while. It came bedtime. And I went to bed. I was awakened by a few sniffles. Looked up and my mother was standing there, silhouetted by a bright moon coming in the back door. With an old-fashioned drawstring nightgown and nightcap on. And my mother was looking at me, her soldier boy. I woke up and I said, Mother, are you crying? She said, Don't they have sinus trouble in the army? And I said, Yes, they do. Went back to sleep. I was awakened again by mother. Her voice was, she was crying and she was sniffling. And I said, Mother, you're crying. She said, Don't they have bad colds in the service, Sergeant? I said, Yes, ma'am. Went back to sleep. You see, I never talked back to my mother, by the way. I'm 55 years old, and this is the God's truth. I've never one time talked back to my mother. I mean that. She knows it's true, and my sister knows it's true. I've never one time ever talked back to my mother. My mother's never gone to bed at night and moistened the pillow with her tears because her son had spoken harshly to her. I never crossed her. Still never cross her. She was standing there. The third time I was awakened by her sniffling and I thought crying. And I said, Mama, you're crying. And my mama looked at me and she said, Son, do you remember how you used to? And I said, Used to what, Mama? And she said, Oh, said forget it. I said, I'm not going to forget it. What are you talking about? She said, Son, remember how you used to? Oh, son, you know. I said, No, I don't know. What are you talking about? She said, Son, when you used to go to bed, remember you She said, I just thought maybe one more time. Not every night you're home, but maybe just tonight. Oh. You see, I used to say, Now lay me down to sleep. With my head in Mother's lap. And she would hold her Bible that I have in my office tonight. And I said, Mama, pray me. And my mother sat down in an old-fashioned red chair we used to own. And I'm Sergeant Jack Hiles, 386-406-79, Parachute Maintenance Company, Special Troops Division, 82nd Air, Special Troops Battalion, 82nd Airborne Division, knelt and put his head in his mother's lap. And I said unashamedly, Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And my mother read to me from her old Bible, and we had a wonderful homecoming. multiply that by 10,000 times 10,000, and you'll have something of the glory and sweetness and blessing when we shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. O saints of God, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not think we're being persecuted or tried in fiery trials. Let us keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on till that day comes when we can join and sing "Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Tonight, give yourself to His cause. Give yourself to His work. Tonight, if you're going through some trials, go through them. Quit your whining. Quit your complaining. Air conditioner gets broken in the house and you just go into all a dither. That's the most foolish thing I ever heard of in my life. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fall to win their prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. I love that chorus. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. And we'll join the heavenly procession when Jesus comes from glory and all the armies of heaven follow after Him, clothed in white linen, riding white horses. Heaven and